squares or rectangles. A square is anything with four angles. Straight or angled lines. Curves or curlicues. Dots. All drawing involves combinations of these simple core elements. New ways of seeing. We think we know how to see, but as Leonardo said, people look without seeing. Seeing for drawing means looking at things as if you've never seen them before. Rather than relying on recognition and objectification, e.g., that's an apple, for drawing purposes, an artist suspends the concept apple and sees the qualities of a subject in a more elemental way as shapes, hues, and textures. Here are a few exercises for exploring this way of seeing. Seeing exercise, light and dark. One of Leonardo's great contributions to art was the development of chiaroscuro, the use of contrast between light and dark for dramatic emphasis. Prior to the Renaissance, artists generally emphasized light to the exclusion of shadow. For the beginning artist, this is still an easy mistake to make. In art, as in life, it is necessary to delve courageously into the shadows of the darker palette. And it is from the richness of its shadow and the darkness that surrounds it that a figure takes form, dimensionality, and depth. As the maestro emphasized, shadows have their boundaries at certain determinable points. He who is ignorant of these will produce work without relief, and the relief is the summit and the soul of painting. These simple exercises will deepen your appreciation for chiaroscuro in everyday life. Look for shadows. Make shadows a theme for a day. Notice how the quality of shadow changes throughout the day with the movement of the sun. Record your observations in your notebook. Get impressions of dark and light. Take a walk in the park or sit at your favorite cafe watching people come and go. As you watch the world go by, squint your eyes so that everything becomes impressionistic. Aim to see the world purely in terms of light and dark, as though your eyes were movie cameras making black and white films. The secret of perceiving light and dark is looking for darkness. As you ask, "What is dark?" light appears in relief. With a little practice, you will become accustomed to looking at the world in this way. Seeing exercise, kaleidoscopic configurations. As in the light-dark exercise, start in an interesting environment with squinting eyes, but this time ask the questions, what shapes does red come in around here? How about blue, green, and so on? As you seek the color shapes, the world around you will take on a delightfully sculptural, colorful, and kaleidoscopic quality. Enjoy it. Seeing exercise, the artist's frame. The universe seems infinite, yet the page is finite, and this can sometimes seem limiting. But as an artist, you will learn to use the definition a page provides to your advantage. Make an L shape with each of your hands by extending your thumbs 90 degrees from your index fingers. Use these angles to make an imaginary frame. As you spy potential subjects for observation and drawing, practice looking at them through the frame of your hands. Experiment by making the frame larger or smaller and shifting it to the right, to the left, up or down. Enjoy your power to choose and frame your focus. Seeing exercise, editing, and magnetizing. Leonardo's masterful use of ambiguity magnetizes our attention to his subject. Later, Cézanne used his own version of this magnetizing process by rendering indistinct that which was not his subject. This may be the greatest power of the artist, the power to choose the area of focus, and to edit, retire, obscure, or otherwise render secondary anything else. Frame a subject, this time without using your hands. As you do, let everything that is not the subject of choice begin to fade. Mute all surrounding color and forms. Cast a fine veil around all that is not the focus of your attention. Let your eyes become soft. As you blur out all the surroundings, you open yourself to a new intimacy with your subject. Contours. Outside-in drawing. The contour is the outside form, the topography of your subject. Contour Exercise 1, Touch Drawing. Look at a nearby object. Choose something like a plant, a book, a cup, or a chair. First, trace the surfaces of your object with your index finger. Then, with your arm outstretched, move your finger, this time just imagining that you are touching the object's surfaces. Next, without using your physical finger at all, imagine that your gaze is your finger and your finger gaze is touching the outer edge of the object. This is more than an outline because the object is three-dimensional, so you are actually mapping the surface of your subject with your touch gaze. This outer edge is the contour. Now you are ready to touch draw. Trace the outer edge of your object with your finger gaze, but this time the tip of your pencil on the paper is an extension of your imagined touch gaze. The rules are: A, keep your eyes only on the object as you map it with your finger gaze. B, move your gaze around the contour very slowly. C, keep your pencil tip moving on your page at the same speed as your eyes move along the contour. D, consider only the point that you are touch drawing at the moment without thought of any future or past part of your drawing. E, develop the conviction that you are actually touching the object with your gaze. F, do not lift your pencil or look at the page until you've finished the contour. While the finished drawing will probably not look like the object, it will reveal hidden qualities of texture and depth. This touch drawing exercise is a kinesthetically rich introduction to contour. As the maestro suggested, pause periodically and look at your drawing and your subject from a distance. Look at what you are doing in a mirror and from a different angle. Notice changes in your perception and then return to drawing. Contour Exercise 2, Remember Your Hand? Earlier we considered the notion of knowing something like the back of your hand. Then we explored the hand itself. So by now you already know your hand, right? Good. Now, without looking at your hand, close your eyes and recreate it in your mind's eye. Then, with a fresh sheet of paper, draw the contour of your hand from memory. Once finished, notice how the picture compares with the actual item. Avoid thinking in terms of good or bad. Just ask, how are they similar? How are they different? Contour Exercise 3. Touch Draw Your Hand. Now observe your non-dominant hand. Imagine that your slow, searching gaze is your touch. Touch Draw Your Hand. Remember, your touch drawing is a three-dimensional sensory mapping process more than just an outline. Also, do not be misled by shadows. When you touch the subject, it will feel the same to your touch whether it is in light or shadow. Follow the rules of touch drawing as in Contour Exercise 1. Contour Exercise 4, Hand Contour. Now you are ready for a contour drawing of your hand. This is just like touch drawing, except this time you look back and forth between subject and paper, and you will lift your pencil tip from the paper. Now try a contour drawing of your original touch drawing subject. Drawing movement. As Leonardo probed the depths of nature, he saw that everything is changing and moving all the time. His drawings possess an inner dynamism that expresses this fundamental quality of movement, even in objects that appear to be still. Most of our previous drawing exercises require a slow, thoughtful, meditative approach. In drawing movement, we will shift to a faster, more dynamic approach. Movement Exercise 1, Falling Objects. In this exercise, observe the essential movement in an object as it falls. Drop tissues, a scarf, napkins, leaves, or a feather, and watch them fall. Ideally, sit by a waterfall for a few hours, or just run a bath and watch the water come out of the faucet. Make falling objects a theme for a day. Aim to discover at least 3 new observations about falling bodies. Record your observations in your notebook. Then experiment with drawing the tracks of the movement of a falling object. Imagine feeling these tracks in your own body. Leonardo suggested the following: make some silhouettes out of cardboard in various forms, and throw them from the top of the terrace through the air, then draw the movements each makes at the different stages of its descent. Marcel Duchamp's nude descending a staircase was inspired by this Da Vincian exercise in seeing. Movement Exercise 2. Still Movement. With reckless abandon, draw the essence of a still object, such as a bow, a drapery, a napping dog, or an old shoe. Movement Exercise 3. Motion in People. Find a nice spot to sit in a public place. Train stations and airports are ideal, and watch people move. Practice the following exercise suggested by the maestro. Keep a sharp lookout for figures in movement, and note down the main lines quickly, that is to say, putting an O for the head, and straight or bent lines for the arms, and the same for the legs and trunk. Shading and Massing. Inside-out Substance. A mark on a piece of paper is a two-dimensional phenomenon. The artist's challenge is to turn two dimensions into three or more. Shading and massing are keys to this transformation. Shading Exercise 1, Light on a Sphere. Draw a few circles on your page and experiment with different angles of light and shade. Shading Exercise 2, Apple in the Sun. This exercise works with an apple or any basic form. For an object to convey that it has realistic substance, the shadows must make sense in relation to light. Remember how in the light-dark seeing exercise you squinted your eyes and began to distinguish between shades of light and dark? Now it is time to apply that awareness to your apple. Place the apple on a simple surface near you. It could be on a plain-colored plate, a piece of paper, a table, a cloth, anything not distracting. Now, allowing yourself to look back and forth between subject and page, make a contour outline of the form of the apple on the plate. You will notice that even if it is the same apple as before, it never looks the same from any other angle, under any other light, so there is really no such thing as doing the exact same thing twice. Now look to see where and what is the major source of light. Sometimes there are more than one. Choose the dominant source, and, if possible, turn the others off. Once again, squint your eyes to distinguish the light and dark on the apple. Got it? Confirm that the dark, shadow, is opposite your light source. If it is not, look again. On your paper, indicate where the light is coming from with a little sun. With a soft pencil, begin shading the dark parts of your apple. Shading is an additive process, so shade in thin layers, as Da Vinci did. As you shade, keep returning to your light-dark squinting. It will help clarify how dark the shadows really are. Shading Exercise 4. Value Chart. In drawing, value does not refer to how much money this little baby is going to bring at auction. Rather, value refers to depth of shade. At the bottom of your page, make a rough value chart with the shades labeled lightest, medium light, medium, darkest. Shading Exercise 5. Sphere Values. Go back to your shaded drawing of a sphere. Review the value chart, and by squinting at your sphere and the chart, this exercise will develop your ability to distinguish among different values and reduce shading into simple groupings. Later, you can add more refined value variation. Shading Exercise 6. More Fruit. Collect a couple of apples and pears. The smooth texture will keep the focus on drawing shadows rather than on surface patterns. Next, arrange them on a plate, decide on the light source, and mark it with a little sun at the edge of your page. Look at the overall pattern of fruits on the surface. Are any overlapping? When you squint your eyes, which ones stand out? What are the patterns of the different values? Now, frame your picture. Then, using contour and shading, draw the still life before you. Remember to break occasionally and view your work from a distance. Massing your forces. The shading techniques you have just learned are very effective, but to convey the fullness of things from the inside out, they must be complemented by a special secret of depth creation. The secret of depth creation is massing, also known as modeling. Massing is a way of conveying a visceral sense of bulk. Without it, figures appear to be wearing their depth like makeup, rather than feeling like objects of substance. Mass Exercise 1, Very Red Apple. To get the most from this exercise, pretend you are a 4-year-old who has just found a red crayon. Then find a bright red apple, place it at a comfortable distance in front of you on a well-lit spot. Imagine that you are building a reservoir of that same color red in your own imaginary inkwell. Let it keep filling with color until the color red seems absolutely juicy and bursting with life. Now take a red marker or crayon and draw a red dot on your paper. Think of the apple as a living substance. With your red color, you are searching for its core. Now start filling the apple with color from the inside out. Make the reddest parts really red, and let the outer edges, which don't seem to contain as much color, reflect that as well. This exercise provides the foundation experience for massing. Mass Exercise 2, Sculpting. In this exercise, we seek the sensation of a sculptor modeling with clay. So imagine you are the sculptor and you've put approximately the right amount of clay where it belongs to sculpt your subject. Now you shape your sculpture by pressing into the clay wherever the form has a hollow, molding and shaping the curves of the form. Choose a subject, preferably a live one, such as a dog, cat, husband, wife, child, or friend. Draw the form of your subject using the flat edge of a black Conte crayon rather than a tip or an end as we have before. Where the form goes in, let the crayon press more heavily onto the page, yielding a darker shade, and where the form moves out, closer to you, let the crayon rise lightly, only just touching the page. Imagine that you are molding this drawing. Mass Exercise 3, Anatomy of an Apple. This is an advanced Da Vincian fruit experiment that aims to inform us, scientifically, what is at the core of an apple and how that mass is structured to give the apple form. Take 3 bright, luscious apples, pick up each one, and turn it in your hand, feeling its weight, texture, and balance. Observe its color as if through a magnifying glass. Notice the patterns on the surface. How is each apple different? Make notes in your notebook of your observation. Then notice the arcs of each contour. Notice the subtle variations that make this apple unique and unlike the common apple image that pops into your mind when you think apple. Now that you are intimate with your apples, we are ready for the autopsy. It's time to dissect, aka slice, the apples to examine the inner structure. Slice one apple in half horizontally, another vertically, and the third diagonally for 3 different perspectives. Next, arrange the apple pieces on a plate. Place the plate on a surface and prepare to draw this core study. Note the light source, squint to measure value. Note how the surfaces create different planes for the light reflection. Now you are ready for your core still life. After you complete your core still life, draw a whole apple. Let your drawing reflect your understanding of the apple from the inside out. Perspective. Shading and massing build depth and dimension, and perspective puts them in context. Perspective Exercise 1, Distant Horizons. The maestro invested many hours in observing the distant horizon. He noted, among objects of equal size, that which is most remote from the eye will look smallest. Of several bodies, all equally large and equally distant, that which is most brightly illuminated will appear to the eye nearest and largest. A dark object will appear bluer in proportion as it has more luminous atmosphere between it and the eye, as may be seen in the color of the sky. Before Leonardo, objects in the background and foreground were usually depicted with similar dimension, value, and color. Begin your exploration of perspective by studying the far horizon and then working forward. Make perspective a theme for a day and record your observations. Perspective Exercise 2, Overlap. Which comes first? The one in front. The object that overlaps another appears to be in front. This principle is so basic we might miss it. This simple observation makes the visual communication of relationship between objects unquestionably clear. For example, four lightly drawn boxes could be in any positional relation to one another. However, by simply tracing the boxes with different overlaps, some will appear to recede while others will appear to move forward. First, draw the outline of one particular box. Then trace in the lines of a second box, omitting any lines that appear to fall behind the first box. Then trace in the third, then the last box in a similar fashion. In the next frames, make a different box, the closest forward in each picture. Notice that overlap dictates size. It does not even matter that one box is the smallest or largest. Depending on its relational position, it might just appear closer or further away. Perspective Exercise 3. My papers in the way of my subject. Once you've framed out your subject, it can be a little perplexing to keep the same perspective over time, especially since the surface you are actually drawing on may be lying flat on a table or slanted on an easel. Forget where and how your paper or canvas is actually situated. Rather, always imagine that your paper or canvas is set up vertically between you and the objects you are drawing. Imagine you are actually seeing through the paper or canvas and simply tracing them. So when you are drawing something, always refer back to that imaginary paper or canvas between you and your subject. Perspective Exercise 4. Small, far, big, near. When looking at people from a great distance, we've all noticed how small they can appear to become. We use this size variation automatically to gauge distance. In the overlap exercise, we learned that relative position can convey a lot of information, but once we know the sequence of objects, size becomes the next most informative factor. The following exercises will introduce the crux of perspective, the horizon line, aka your eye level, and the vanishing point. Perspective Exercise 5, Horizon, Eye Level. With your straight edge, draw a horizontal line across your paper and label it eye level. Experiment by drawing it at different heights on your page. Establishing the eye level is essential because as drawings become more complex, the eye level might be covered by mountains, buildings, or trees. Yet everything in a picture is drawn relative to eye level. Perspective Exercise 6, Vanishing Point. Now go back to your eye levels and with a Conte crayon, place a dot near the center. Label that dot VP for vanishing point. From that dot, draw a straight line to each bottom corner of your paper. You will notice you have what appears to be a wide opening street. Notice the difference the eye levels make on the impression of the street. Perspective Exercise 7, A Square on Perspective. With your straight edge, draw a soft dotted horizon line. Choose and dot a vanishing point. Next, draw a triangle, a square, and a circle in the frame. Keeping the vanishing point in mind, make the triangle, square, and circle three-dimensional in the direction of the vanishing point. Step back to see if your figures seem to make sense. On your best example, choose a light source and label it with a little sun. Take a moment to feel the direction of the light, as if you were the object you will shade. With a soft graphite pencil, shade the three-dimensional figures with shadows away from the light source. Remember to shade in light layers. When you are comfortable with the above, you may want to practice an experiment with other shape variations. Perspective Exercise 8. An Interesting Street. As before, with your straight edge, draw a horizon line, dot a vanishing point, VP. From the VP, draw lines to the bottom and top corners of the frame. Now in descending order, draw a row of simple trees along the street you've begun. On the other side of the street, similar to the three-dimensional triangle, square, circle exercise, make a couple of square buildings. Remember that all vertical, up and down lines will be exactly parallel. Also note that there should be an imaginary roof line to the vanishing point. So that will be your guide for descending size. Perspective Exercise 9, Landscape. Practice looking at landscapes to deepen your appreciation of perspective. Experiment with sketches in your notebook. Drawing by Heart. Heart Drawing Exercise 1. Face Memory, You. From memory, without looking in a mirror, draw your face. Sign it. Date it. Smile. Heart Drawing Exercise 2. Face Memory, A Friend. Think of someone close to you. In your mind's eye, conjure that person's face and begin to observe it as an artist. Notice the core shapes and the relationship of one feature with another. What features are most outstanding? Where do you see symmetry and asymmetry? Think in contours. Are the cheeks prominent? Do they recede quickly? Are the eyes deep set? Where are the rises and falls in the face? Imagine you touch it with your mind's gaze and follow along the contours of the face. Remember to keep your mental gaze flowing around the whole face. Do not get lost in one feature. Now make a drawing of the face from memory. Next, take an opportunity to study your friend's face. Make a note of what was missing from your memory. Each memory drawing will make your subsequent observation richer and more refined. Heart Drawing Exercise 3, A Nose for Study. Leonardo suggested the following exercise in knowing how to see. First, learn by heart the various kinds of heads, eyes, noses, mouths, chins, throats, and also necks and shoulders. Take as an instance noses. They are of 10 types: straight, bulbous, hollow, prominent either above or below the center, aquiline, regular, simian, round, and pointed. These divisions hold good as regards profile. Seen from in front, noses are of 12 types: thick in the middle, thin in the middle, with the tip broad, and narrow at the base, and narrow at the tip, and broad at the base, with nostrils broad or narrow, or high or low, and with the openings either visible or hidden by the tip. And similarly, you will find variety in the other features, of which things you ought to make studies from nature and fix them in your memory. Following the maestro, take faces as a theme for a day. Then, on a subsequent day, take noses as a theme. Sketch the different types in profile and from the front. Then do the same with eyes, mouths, etc. The lover is drawn by the thing loved, as the sense is by that which it perceives. Leonardo da Vinci. Heart Drawing Exercise 4, Face Study. After you have studied faces and features for a while, try a study of the face of a friend, preferably the friend whose face you drew from memory in the earlier exercise. Try the following steps. Look at your friend as though you are seeing her for the first time. View her face in terms of geometry. Look for triangles, circles, and squares. Note lines, curves, and dots. If your friend consents, gently stroke her face with your fingertips, exploring the contour and texture. Then step back and do a slow touch draw of her face. Next, study the shadows and shadings. Do a quick sketch that reflects the values you observe. Now, with a soft Conte crayon, make a quick abstract sculptural drawing of your friend's face. Draw out the depth and richness of what you see. Then ultimately, make a quick sketch of your friend's face using your non-dominant hand. Finally, make a drawing that combines everything you have learned from the face study exercise. Heart Drawing Exercise 5, Self-Study. Apply all the steps in Exercise 4 to a study of your own sweet face in the mirror. The Beginner's Da Vinci Drawing Course is designed to inspire a lifelong love affair with the art of knowing how to see. Drawing, in the manner of the maestro, is making love with the world through your eyes. Savor the seduction of color, the lustiness of mass, the romance of light and dark. Practice, experiment, surrender, breathe, and have fun. To get the most from your relationship with your drawings, sign, date, and save each one. Your drawings will form a fascinating record of your evolving vision of the world. When you wish to know anything well by heart, which you have studied, follow this method. When you have drawn the same thing so many times that it seems you know it by heart, try to do it without the model. But have a tracing made of the model upon a thin piece of smooth glass, and lay this upon the drawing you have made without the model. Note well where the tracing and your drawing do not tally, and where you find that you have erred, bear it in mind in order not to make the mistake again. Even return to your model in order to copy the part where you were wrong so many times as to fix it in your mind. Leonardo da Vinci. Rebirth of a Dream. The clay model of Leonardo's original equine monument inspired Vasari to comment, "There was never a thing more beautiful. The masterpiece was destroyed by invading French troops on September 10, 1499. Exactly 500 years later, on September 10, 1999, a 24-foot-high bronze horse, inspired by the maestro's design and sculpted by Nina Akamu, was unveiled in Milan, Italy. Leonardo loved animals, especially horses, and was renowned for his skill as a rider. Inspired by Leonardo's original design, Vebjørn Sand constructed an exquisitely beautiful bridge over Highway E18 linking Norway and Sweden. Sand envisions a Leonardo bridge on every continent as a tribute to Leonardo's exemplary genius and as a reminder of the importance of creativity in bringing people together. Leonardo's sketches and design notes for bridges were, like much of his work, far ahead of his time. Artist Vebjørn Sand comments on the Mona Lisa of bridges. "It is a perfect pressed bow construction, demonstrating that the force of an arch can be distributed in wider spans when the foot of the arch is compensatorily widened and utilizing the tension provided by the counterforce of the terrain. It was conceived 300 years prior to its engineering principle being generally accepted, proving Da Vinci's genius as a technological innovator equal to his genius as an artist and visionary." Leonardo da Vinci, Chronology, Life and Times. April 15, 1452, Birth of Leonardo. 1453, Fall of Byzantium. 1469, Birth of Machiavelli, Death of Piero de' Medici. Lorenzo il Magnifico and Giuliano assume leadership in Florence. 1473, Birth of Copernicus, Leonardo admitted to the Painters Guild. 1475, Birth of Michelangelo. 1480, Birth of Magellan. 1481, Leonardo works on the Adoration of the Magi. 1483, Birth of Raphael. 1488, Birth of Titian. 1490, Leonardo establishes his own workshop. 1492, Columbus in New World. 1497, Leonardo works on The Last Supper. 1499, Sforza Equestrian Model destroyed. 1504, Michelangelo's David completed. Leonardo consulted as to the best position for its display. July 9, 1504, death of Leonardo's father, leaving 10 sons and 2 daughters. 1506, Mona Lisa completed. 1512, Michelangelo completes Sistine Chapel ceiling. 1516, Leonardo leaves Italy for Amboise. April 23, 1519, Leonardo's last will and testament. May 2, 1519, death of Leonardo. This is Doug Ordunio. We hope you've enjoyed this production of How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci by Michael J. Gelb. Published by arrangement with Random House Audio Publishing Group, a division of Random House, Inc. Text copyright 1998 by Michael J. Gelb. New preface copyright 2004 by Michael J. Gelb. Production copyright 2006, books on tape.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.